Now we are pleased to present Truth for Today with Donald Narby, Bible teacher and author.
We welcome you again today to Truth for Today, and we're in the book of Galatians, a delightful book that was written by Paul many years ago, in which he in a very special way defends the gospel. It's a very strong proclamation of the gospel and what's involved. Now we finished down through verse 14 of chapter 3. And you remember as we finished, Paul was emphasizing the fact that in verse 13, for example, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And what Paul is saying here is the law has a penalty, and the penalty of the law, the broken law, is death itself. And Paul is saying, listen, Christ has redeemed us from that. He paid that penalty. He took that curse. He took that judgment on himself. And so when I, as a sinner, turn to him and trust him and say, Lord Jesus, I want you for my Savior, and I'm trusting you, and you alone to save me, when that happens, then my debt is paid because Christ died for me. Christ took my place. He died in my stead. See, a very strong statement, isn't it? So Paul here is saying, look, I don't have to be afraid of the law. I don't have to feel condemned by the law. I don't have to feel uneasy. Christ has redeemed me from this penalty. The penalty is paid. So I don't have to worry. And I don't have to be uptight. And I don't have to be concerned about trying to keep the rules in order to be saved. Now the next section, verses 15 to 22, he's going to emphasize that promise preceded law. Notice what he says, brethren, I speak in the manner of men, though it is only a man's covenant, yet if it is confirmed, no one annuls or adds to it. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say unto seeds as to many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the law which was 430 years later cannot annul the covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise of no effect. For if the inheritance is of the law, it is no longer a promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Now what's he saying here? He's saying, listen, the promise preceded law. The promise was given to Abraham. The promise of salvation, the promise of justification, it says Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham knew he was saved. Abraham knew he was right with God. Now, did he know this because he, kept the law, the Mosaic law? Did he know this because he was circumcised? Did he know this because it kept the Passover? Or because he kept the Ten Commandments as such? Is this the basis for his relationship with God, with knowing he's right with God? And Paul says, no, no. The Mosaic law wasn't given for 430 years. Over 400 years passed before you had the law given at Mount Sinai through Moses. And yet Abraham, all those years before, knew he was right with God. He knew he was saved. He knew his sins were forgiven. And he knew this by grace. And he knew this through the promise of God, not by keeping the law. So Paul here is emphasizing, look, what I'm saying, this matter of being saved through faith on the basis of God's grace and not by keeping works of the law is not something new. It's not radically new. This is a truth that was found in the Word of God years, hundreds of years before the law was given. That a man knew he was right with God, a man knew his sins were forgiven, a man knew that he was going to heaven because of his faith in the Lord and in his grace. And this is what Abraham did. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. So he emphasizes this very strongly, and he says, now look, the law coming 400 years later doesn't change God's way of doing things, and it doesn't annul the promise. And the promise here came on the basis of God's grace, not on the basis of keeping law. So he stresses this very strongly, the tremendous time lapse before the law was given. And yet in those years before, people believed in the Lord, they trusted the Lord, they turned to the Lord in faith, and they were saved by faith, not by keeping the law, which hadn't even been given yet. So Paul makes a great point of this. If Abraham was saved, how was he saved? By keeping the Ten Commandments, by keeping the law of the Passover and the various festivals of the Jews, the Day of Atonement, the Feast of Trumpets. Was he saved, you know, by keeping all the things the laws required? And he says, no, not at all. He was saved by God's grace through faith, and certainly not on the basis of law keeping. Now, the latter part of the chapter, he asks the question, well, why was the law given then? Some might say, well, if the law doesn't save me, if I am not right with God because I keep these different rules, why was it given? What's the purpose? And he asks the question then, what purpose then does the law serve? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was appointed through angels by the hand of a mediator, through the hand of Moses, who was a mediator. Now he says a mediator does not mediate for one only, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. If there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture has confined all under sin, or locked up all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Why was the law given? He says, well, the law was added because of transgressions. It had a purpose, but the purpose was not to save. In fact, he says, look, if a law could have been given that would save, then that would have been the basis on which God would have saved people. If the law of Moses, if by keeping that, and you could keep it, by doing this, then you were right with God. God would never have sent his son. He would never have provided a different way. The law would have been adequate. Why send a savior if you can keep the law? So he says, the purpose then of the law is not to save. It was never intended for that. The purpose of the law, he says, is to make sin very sinful. Like he says in Romans, he emphasizes here the fact that the law was not given to save, but as he says in Romans 7, sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Through the commandment, he says, sin became exceedingly sinful. Now, we all become very good at rationalizing and justifying and defending ourselves. We defend our actions, whatever they are. Now, we do have a conscience, and that conscience tells us there are things right, there are things wrong, you ought to do what's right. But sometimes we become very good at defending what we're doing and rationalizing with our conscience. As he says in Romans 2, we do this. Our thoughts accusing or else excusing ourselves. And so we go through this struggle with conscience. And if we want to, we can talk ourselves into believing that what we did was right and legitimate and there was nothing wrong with it. You find this is true with criminals. You go to a jail, to a penitentiary, you find a lot of men there that are hanging on the bars and saying, you know, I did it and I'm a sinner and I'm wrong I've done some terrible things. Not at all. Most of them are there, very comfortable. They feel the system is rotten, the law is terrible, and they have perfectly good reasons in their thinking for doing what they did. And they've rationalized they've explained it all away. There were good reasons for them to do what they did, even though the law says you've committed a crime. So we become very good at this. Now, for example, let me give you an illustration. Suppose I should be driving through a residential area. Now, my mind and my conscience would say to me, look, people live here. There's little children in some of these houses. One of them may run out from behind a parked car. And you would be wise if you would drive at a reasonable rate, maybe 30 miles an hour. But maybe I'm in a hurry. And so I can rationalize, and I can say, well, there's no sign, and probably no children in the street anyway, and I'm in a hurry, and therefore I'm justified in driving 45 miles an hour through this area. And I've rationalized. I feel comfortable finally with it. I say, I'm doing all right. Sure, there are houses, and I know there are residences, but it's quiet, and there aren't any kids playing out now at this time, and I'm in a hurry. Therefore, I'm justified in doing what I'm doing. But suppose as I enter that residential area, I see a big sign spelling it out very clearly, speed limit 30 miles per hour. 30 miles per hour. Now, I can't really rationalize. I can't say, well, it doesn't mean what it says. And that looked like a 5 to me instead of a 3. No, there it is. It's in black and white, and it says 30 miles per hour. Now, if I break that, if I go ahead and drive 45 miles an hour, that sign is constantly going to be coming into my thinking, and my conscience is going to say, look, you saw the sign, and the sign says 30 miles an hour. You're breaking the law. And the sin, then, this wrongdoing that I could have justified before, now becomes very sinful to me. I realize the law says this, and I'm breaking the law. I can't argue with it. And so he says this is the purpose of the law. Now, if you're a sinner and you're comfortable with your sin, I'd encourage you to read the Ten Commandments. I'd encourage you to read the Lord's teaching on the spiritual implications of those commandments in Matthew 5 through 7. And read that. And as you read what the Word of God has to say, you'll not be so comfortable with what you're doing. And you'll realize, I'm a sinner. I've got problems. And all my conduct isn't all right just because I've rationalized and defended it. And there's something really wrong with me. And this is the purpose of the law, you see. And there are a lot of people today that have so rationalized that they really don't have a conscience about sin. And that's necessary. If you're going to be saved, you have to be concerned first about your sin. You have to be convicted first about your sin. I hope you've been concerned and convicted about your sin. This will bring you to Christ.